You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class, getting ready to come your way right here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Also at KGYMradio.com, you can listen to us via the stream, your KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker. Good show coming up for you. We'll take a look back at the weekend that was in the world of sports, highlighted by football, college football, and pro football specifically. We'll talk about that, and we'll get your reactions to the Iowa and Iowa State wins. You and I with a big win as well, up and down the line. And the pro football week number two, which continues tonight with the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. We'll have it for you at 6:30 tonight on the Gym OT, 107.5 FM, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City. And then we've got the Cyclone Sideline Show coming your way tonight on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, as they will talk about, among other things, the Cyclones bounce back against UNLV 48-3. We are presented by Dupaco Community Credit Union each and every afternoon from 3 to 4 right here on KGYM. You can find out more by clicking on their website, and we encourage you to do so. That is, of course, dupaco.com. That's dupaco.com, and you can find out more by going as well to our website at kgymradio.com. We do appreciate that. Text line open and available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on this Monday edition of the show. Start things off today with a little weather information. The National Weather Service has just issued a severe thunderstorm watch. We have not had one of those in a long time. Pretty fair chunk of the state of Iowa, and that includes our neck of the woods here in eastern Iowa. We are kind of right on the edge of it. The line going basically from Dubuque down through Washington and then toward the Ottumwa area, from kind of a north-northeast to south-southwest line right there, and to the west of that toward central Iowa. But severe thunderstorm watch in effect. That goes until 10 o'clock tonight. So if you are over, say, in the Quad Cities, you're out of the watch. Clinton, you are out of the watch. Muscatine, you are out of the watch. Burlington, you are out of the watch. But Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Dubuque, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Coralville, and all points around there, you need to keep an eye on the sky this afternoon. A little bit of rain starting to develop off to our west. And a little bit more of an impactful line over toward the Des Moines area right now. It's moving its way toward the east and slightly to the northeast at this point. So, again, keep an eye on the weather as you make your way through the evening here tonight. Scott Unash with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining me now from the southwest side on this Monday. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Doing well, everyone, and really a jam-packed show today. You outlined a bunch of items. Fran McCaffrey met the media today. Iowa with a big-time two-sport recruit over the weekend. Emil's Hideaway pick six results, and a chance for you to win postseason baseball tickets.
Yeah, congratulations to Brian Dinkelman and the Colonels. Entire Colonel team, staff, et cetera, as they qualified for the Hackle Championship. And that will get started here in town tomorrow. And we've got a four-pack of tickets for you to win today on this very program, as well as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Just keep listening through 6 o'clock tonight. We've got a couple of chances for you to win a four-pack. You'll pick those tickets up at will call tomorrow. And So we'll give you an opportunity to get those. And congratulations to the Colonels. Only two teams made the playoffs out of the High A Central League this year. Out of the, 12 teams? Or I think it's 12, 14, whatever it is. It's only two this year. Used to be more than that. And the streak continues every year that Cedar Rapids has been affiliated with the Minnesota Twins, they have qualified for the postseason.
Yeah, it's 8-for-8, and the Colonels wrapped it up yesterday in Peoria with an 11-0 victory, and that makes it 8-for-8 as an affiliate of the Minnesota Twins that the Cedar Rapids Colonels have made the playoffs. Quite an impressive run. We'll give you more details about this series on the Emo's Hideaway scoreboard coming up.
Yes, we will. We will do that at that time. 319-366-1600. Speaking of times, we now have a start time for Iowa State in Kansas coming up the first Saturday of October. That is October the 2nd, and it's a night game? It is. It's a night game, Mark. Unusual, but that is what it is.
Yeah, check that off the Emo's Hideaway scoreboard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, you can reiterate.
That's okay. October 2nd, 6 p.m. Kansas will visit Iowa State, and that game will be shown on FS1.
Kansas. Yes. Nothing like the Jayhawks in primetime, ladies and gentlemen. Iowa State will open Big 12 play coming up on Saturday against the Baylor Bears down in Waco. We will talk with the voice of the Bears, John Morris, coming up on the program tomorrow. Baylor off to a good start. They're unbeaten, including a win over said Kansas last weekend to open Big 12 play. Well, we'll talk about Iowa State coming up here in just a little bit. 11 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock, 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you each and every day. Phone lines available to you as well at 319-366-1600. And Iowa, a winner over Kent State, 30-7. I think the 23-point win is not lost on some people, but more importantly, your thoughts about the game, welcome at 319-366-1600. I will say this, Mark, it was a much tougher game than I think a lot of Iowa fans thought it was going to be going into the gold out at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know if it swayed too much from what I expected after Iowa facing Iowa State last week and knowing that Kent State had some ability. It was kind of a snoozer for into the second quarter, and Iowa, you know, the game turned, I think, quite obviously on when Kent State fumbled on the goal line. Going in, could have made it 16-14. Justin Jacobs with a punch out and a Riley Moss recovery in the end zone. And the rest was history. But that could have been perhaps an entirely different game had Kent State went in there on probably its most successful drive of the game. But the defense, again, was very strong. The offense was balanced. I think that's the best thing you can say about that, within 5 or 6 yards, rushing, passing. Petrus was not Peyton Manning-esque by any means, but he had his moments, and that's what we've seen out of him so far. But Tyler Goodson got on track in the running game, and I think a lot of Iowa fans wanted to see that. But this defense continues to amaze, I think. And, you know, Jack Campbell, I couldn't wait to see the statistics because I thought he was in on damn near every play. The linebacker out of Cedar Falls, he was credited with 11 tackles, and I thought he had twice as many. I just thought he had a phenomenal game. And we saw a little bit of Gavin Williams.
Yeah.
Who apparently was the number 3 running back. You're going to have to trace his high school history, Scott, because – I know he came out of the Des Moines area, but showed well running and catching the ball. So all in all, it didn't hurt Iowa in the polls. So on to Colorado State, right?
On to Colorado. Very Belichickian of you, by the way, on to Colorado State. Yeah, if there were a couple of points, is there such a thing as a quiet 25 of 36 for 209 yards and one touchdown. I think Spencer Petras had that on Saturday. And it was very much like Spencer Petras threw the first year in 3 games. Makes a really good throw, and then all of a sudden a guy's wide open and he'll kind of throw it 3 yards in front of him. Just very, you know, like we've come to know as far as Spencer Petras is concerned. And not say he had bad game or anything like that. Not saying that at all. It's just it was a very quiet 25 of 36 for 209. But Tyler Goodson was the big story, obviously. 153 yards. The Iowa offensive line getting Kyler Schott back from North Lynn to help solidify that a little bit. Yeah, Gavin Williams got in there, got a pass reception, a couple, two or three pass receptions, ran it a little bit. I'm very interested to see if he's kind of Ivory Kelly Martin, put the ball on the ground twice in the game against Kent State, Mark. And that's, as you know, and as everybody knows that has followed Iowa football, that is a once maybe kept him in there, did it again, and we did not see Ivory Kelly Martin after that. It was Gavin Williams, who, of course, started his career at Southeast Polk and ended up his career as a Dowling Maroon his senior season to win a state championship. But good back, and I think the future is bright for that young man. Is he number two now behind Tyler Goodson? I guess that remains to be seen coming up against Colorado State on Saturday.
Well, Kirk Ferentz's post-game comments indicated that the leash may be short on Ivory Kelly Martin, but he is still the number two guy. After all, last week he was voted by his teammates as the fifth captain on this team, so that's how highly regarded he is. But it doesn't matter how highly regarded they are. If you're going to put the ball on the ground, that's going to be a problem, and it always has been with Kirk Ferentz and most other coaches. And the one thing I note as well is that the offensive line, I think I tried to count, it wasn't easy, at least 10 different players rotated in and out. I think almost every other series, save Tyler Lindebaum, the center, perhaps the backup center got in at the end. But by and large, and this is what Iowa's done the first three games, is mix and match on that offensive line. And I think that definitely creates depth. Sometimes with this Iowa zone blocking scheme, it disrupts the chemistry a little bit in terms of guys playing with certain other guys. But I find that, and a lot of that is true in the defensive line as well. A lot of bodies got in and have gotten in on the defensive line. So, you know, a guy like Lucas Van Ness, who we haven't heard or mentioned much, he had a terrific game on the defensive line. So I think going forward, you know, getting into conference play, we're going to see a more stable offensive line, not maybe more stable, but more consistent use of players, or is it going to continue to be a lot of rotations?
319-366-1600 is the text line. I agree with you, and I think we're going to see that again on Saturday against Colorado State, who, by the way, got a victory. Beat Toledo in a little bit of a surprise. Toledo, after almost knocking off Notre Dame on the road, came back to take on Colorado State and did not show well. But the Rams got a victory, so they are not 0-for heading into Kinnick Stadium. 8186 letting us know a bad accident on 380 southbound right at Highway 30 on the Highway 30 east on-ramp, and they are diverting traffic to Highway 30 west. So thank you, 8186. So if you have travel plans in that direction or coming home from work in that direction, whatnot, you may want to make alternate plans. Again, I-380 southbound. At Highway 30, there is an accident, and they are diverting traffic onto Highway 30 West. Thank you, 8186, for that traffic update. And again, just to let you know, a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for most of the KGYM listening area, and that goes until 10 o'clock tonight. Couple of comments on the text line. The way Iowa's offense plays, I don't think Iowa will blow out anyone, even though they beat them by a good margin. Iowa will rely on their defense, their D and their offense, which at the end doesn't make a whole lot of sense with that. But at any rate, and then 3191, also need to remember that Petras had one throw to Tracy that was dropped and another that was incorrectly reviewed and overturned.
Yeah, that was in quotes. those last three words.
Yes, reviewed and overturned. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. 319-366-1600. No, I'm not putting down Petras or anything like that. I think it was a very quiet 25 of 36 for 209. That was my point. Didn't need to rely on his arm the way Iowa ran the football. And that is good to see. I think that made Kirk Ferentz very happy and Brian Ferentz very happy as far as the running attack is concerned. You talking about balance, 212 to 206, Mark. Passing, 212, rushing, 206. And any offensive coordinator loves those numbers.
No question about it. And let's remember, Spencer Petras has been the quarterback for 9 straight Iowa victories. 6 to end last year and 3 to start this year. And I submit it'll be stretched to 10 this coming Saturday. No, he hasn't put up gaudy numbers, generally speaking. Can't remember the last time he threw an interception. I don't think he has one this year. I could be wrong. He's taken care of the football by and large. There have been times he hasn't gotten rid of it and wrecked field position. But he has had some very good throws as well. Charlie Jones in that Iowa State game, terrific throw. And I don't think that Brian Ferentz really wanted to go downfield a whole lot against Kent State, and perhaps Kent State took that away from the Iowa Hawkeyes. So you kind of take what you can get.
And what Iowa took, you talked about one of the plays of the game, and that was Justin Jacobs again causing a fumble that was scooped up by Riley Moss in the end zone. Huge play right there. The other key 8 minutes and 38 seconds was right ahead of halftime. Another thing that put a smile on Brian Ferentz's face. I haven't seen a drive with these numbers since it went against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan State back in, 15? 20-play, 95-yard drive that took 8 minutes and 38 seconds just ahead of halftime. That thing was an absolute work of art ahead of halftime for the Hawkeye offense.
Yeah, that was a thing of beauty after that fumble recovery in the end zone. And, you know, you don't see that a whole lot of out of a lot of teams, including Iowa. But that was a much-needed drive at the time and kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Again, southbound I-380 to ramp to 30 East in Kirkwood, accident on the ramp, and the ramp is closed. They are diverting traffic. That on the Highway 30 West right now, so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind if you are traveling in that particular area or coming home from work, whatever the case may be. So want to let you know about that. 319-366-1600 at 22 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Iowa gets ready for Colorado State now. You cannot obviously look by anyone on your schedule, but it's certainly a game that Iowa should put in the left-hand column. I don't think there's any doubt about that. First time Iowa and Colorado State have met, by the way, which I found kind of fascinating. So the Rams and the Hawkeyes will go at it. That is a 2:30 kickoff coming up this week at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. And I do believe it's Mr. Brando that's going to be here for that one. I would have to double-check on that, but I thought I saw that reported out there today. We will talk a little bit more about football coming up here in just a little bit here at 3:23. You and I with a big win. We'll get to pro football as well coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, we'll get to the Iowa State win as well. We'll talk about that late night in Vegas. Couple more things on the text line. 69-36, must not have gotten the last part. The offense should do enough to win each week is what they are saying. And 27-12, yes, great to see Kyler shot back in. He looked good on that 95-yard drive. Saw a lot of him. He did not start the game. Saw a lot of Connor Colby again, even more Connor Colby in there. More freshmen. Bruce got into the ball game, Mark, as a wideout, and it was good to see that true freshman Arlen Bruce into the ball game. And also Keegan Johnson with a couple of targets, did not catch a pass, but I was starting to get a few of their younger wide receivers in to the action now. And I think that was part of the plan, and I think we're probably going to see them a little bit more against Colorado State coming up on Saturday.
Should get some more experience. Arlen Bruce got his first collegiate catch. Nice sideline throw and catch there. And I would guess that they'll get some more time this weekend, as you mentioned.
Jackson Ritter, another catch. I like stories like that. Like Ritter, like, and tell you what, Van Valkenburgh is, and we've said it before, this young man is developing into quite a football player. He's going for first team honors. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, at this point, the way he's playing, there's no question. After three games, much of the season, obviously, yet to go, but he's really been the leader on that defensive line and has showed up each and every game and performed very well.
Big Ten, before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, talking about that a little bit. Indiana showed well, lost to Cincinnati, and Indiana now 1-2. But other than that, pretty darn good weekend. Maybe the two most impressive victories. I mean, Penn State beating Auburn, yeah, that's impressive. But it was at home. I tell you, Penn State's got athletes, man. If I win Penn State on that collision course in a few weeks here, undefeated, what are the odds that's a night game, and what are the odds that game day is going to take a pretty good look at Iowa City on that particular Saturday?
I haven't looked at the other games on that particular date, but I think it'd be a good candidate. But it looks like both teams are on a collision course to be 5-0 in the top 10 on that particular day. Perhaps it'll be at night. We shall see. But, you know, I thought Minnesota was very impressive.
Yes, that was the one. Minnesota and Michigan State were the two that caught my eye.
And even Nebraska holding staying within a touchdown of Oklahoma. I thought that was pretty impressive. And then on Friday night, Maryland able to get by Illinois. I don't know how that happened. But Maryland is 3-0 and going to host Iowa a week from Friday. But those are some of the things I wrote down, in addition to Alabama getting a scare at Florida.
Yeah, although the Tide had a – Florida's good. That is a good football team for Dan Mullen. That's a good win for Alabama. Yeah, mm-hmm. Good for them. But Mel Tucker and Michigan State, great story. They blew the doors off the U. The U is 1-2 and 3 points away from being 0-3 right now. Who's next in line to coach the Miami Hurricanes? Can they find yet another former alum to come in and try to bring the glory back to South Florida? We'll see. But Minnesota absolutely blitzed a pretty good Colorado team. They held the Buffaloes to minus 14 rushing yards on Saturday in Boulder. That was impressive. And Minnesota ran themselves for nearly 300 yards in that game. They just played bully over at Folsom Field and ran over Ralphie the Buffalo.
Yeah, ran the ball without Minnesota's best player, Mohamed Ibrahim, who's out for the year. That was an eyebrow raiser for me.
Yeah, me too. 328 here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 319-366-1600. A couple more texts here before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you, and we'll find out who won our Emil's Hideaway pick six from last week, if we all didn't know. 31-48, I really enjoyed the play call by Brian Ferentz where Kent State was over pursuing, and he flipped it out to Goodson for the long TD run like a chess player. Cajun Troy saying, don't have SEC refs. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, they kind of messed up Penn State. they took a down away from James Franklin. That happens. That happens. Yes, and on the text line, Alabama at A&M is also going to be that particular day that Iowa-Penn State play. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. It's got to be one of those two. Do they want to go to Iowa City or do they want to go to College Station? I would imagine a lot. If it's a, if Alabama at A&M is the CBS game, my money is on Iowa-Penn State because that's going to be an ABC or ESPN game.
Oh, good. Then we get to get into the next guest picker and all that good stuff, huh?
Well, seeing how Iowa's already been on, perhaps that is, yeah, that is something else with that. Before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, again, the traffic situation on southbound I-380, right at Highway 30, an accident right there. They are diverting traffic onto Highway 30 West. That ramp is closed. The accident is on the ramp. So if you are heading off into that direction, you may want to make some alternate plans out there. But hopefully they'll get that thing cleared up and hopefully everybody is okay out there at Highway 30 and 380. All right, Mark, I'm going to send it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, and that is right across from the Lindale Mall behind Taco John's.
Relatively quiet right now in Major League Baseball. One game being played, the first of two in Cleveland, Kansas City and Cleveland, scoreless in the bottom of the first. Josie Jewell, the former Hawkeye and current Denver Bronco linebacker, got bad news today. He is out for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. Tough news for Josie there. Two Iowa Hawkeyes, Luca Garza and Caitlin Clark, have been named among the 38 finalists for the James Sullivan Award. Of course, that award won last year on the men's side by Spencer Lee. Voting goes throughout this week into Monday, so I'm not. I'm sure you can find ways to vote for either or both of those Hawkeyes if you so choose. Then winner will be announced in October. Iowa landed a two-sport athlete in Ben Keeter out of Iowa City High. He's a 6'3", 220-pound junior, plays tight end and linebacker, two-time undefeated state champion in wrestling. He purports to do both, which kind of brings back memories of guys like John Oostendorp and Mark Sindlinger,
yep,
who did both.
Yep.
Back in the 80s and 90s. So I know Iowa fans have high hopes in both sports for Ben Keeter.
Dude's a stud.
Well, he's also a great track man and a baseball player.
Yes, he is. Four sport athlete and has not lost in his high school wrestling career as of yet. Two-time champion. And he's doing one of those very rare feats or trying to accomplish that. Started off like middle-ish weights, 133, right in there, something like that. Moved up this past year into kind of the middle to a little bit above middle weight. Going to be a 220-pound wrestler this year for City High, for Coach Connell, and then try to win another state championship. And yeah, this guy was being coveted. Was obviously a great wrestling prospect, but has picked things up as far as football is concerned. And how about City High beating Dowling on Friday night?
Yeah, very impressive. And Keeter had the winning touchdown catch in that game.
Yes, he did, on a flea flicker. So 319-366-1600, 333. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk about the Iowa State victory and UNI getting a victory as well. And talk a little pro football with you before 4 o'clock. But right now, Ben, are we ready? We're going to give away some tickets, playoff tickets. It's championship hackle baseball, ladies and gentlemen. The Colonels taking on Quad City. And that gets started tomorrow night. Games 1 and 2 of the best of 5 will be here at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cedar Rapids Tuesday night and Wednesday night. We have a 4-pack of tickets for tomorrow night's game that we are going to give away right now to caller number 6. Please only call in if you can use the tickets. You'll pick them up at Will Call at Veterans Memorial Stadium coming up tomorrow before the ball game. you've been a winner over the last 30 days, also, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. Caller 6, you will pick up a four-pack of tickets to tomorrow night's opening game of the Hackle Championship Series. You can say you were there for the first playoff game in High A Central League history. We'll take a break, let you know who our winner is, and have more when we come back.
You know, we are Wes and Carrie, and we have three kids, and they know that. And I never really feel like we go in there and we're just another account.
Yeah, it's very family friendly, and it just seems like they continue to have customer service when I think in this industry it's very easy to be transactional.
Wes and Carrie are building a new house, working hard, and raising three little ones. But they were happy to find some time to talk about how much the people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust make a difference to their family.
They do a great job during the summer of having a movie night, and you know, they make it a full family community affair because you don't have to be a member to go to it. But at the same time, it's great to know that your bank's the one that's putting that on to giving the community something to do on a Saturday night.
People you can bank on.
My whole family loves the cookies. They actually know the cookies are from the gold box.
I pretty much give the kids like one and eat the rest of the box. I just hide them and forget about them and I don't.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, celebrating 20 years of people you can bank on. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the hold desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local trusted independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
We are back with you in the gym class here on KGYM, 319-366-1600. We have a winner of our four-pack of Colonels playoff tickets. By the way, we'll have another chance to win on our program coming up tomorrow. Todd and Alex will have your next chance to win between 4 and 6 here this evening. But Scott from the northwest side of Cedar Rapids is our winner, and he will head off to Veterans Memorial Stadium for game one of the Hackle Championship. That will be tomorrow evening. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. 319-366-1600. Yes, 86-99 Prairie with a big win over Bettendorf as well. From Friday night, as far as high school football is concerned. And again, want to let everybody know about a couple things. First of all, a accident on 380 southbound, and that is at the Highway 30 area, the Highway 30 on-ramp onto eastbound Highway 30. So please make alternate plans if you are headed off in that particular direction right there. And also a severe thunderstorm watch in effect that goes until 10 o'clock coming up this evening. Want to remind you before we talk a little more football that we've got KGYM's Community MVP to let you know about. The gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. So please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event, and if selected, your event will be featured on air and online. Go to kgymradio.com for more information. 319-366-1600. Yes, 1912. Thank you for listening to the program and winning those tickets. Always good to hear from our folks right there. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment about football. Let's go to Las Vegas, Mark. We all like to go to Las Vegas at times, right? Well, Iowa State and, gosh, I have no idea how many thousands of their friends descended upon Sin City over the weekend, and they saw Iowa State get well like we thought they would. I must preface this by saying that UNLV may be the worst Division I football team I've ever seen. But it's still, you got to play them, and it's still a win, and Iowa State got well.
Well, I made it through half this game, Scott, and I couldn't agree more. And when we reveal the results of the Emo's Hideaway pick six, we'll tell you a little bit more about riding UNLV, which you could tell in the very first part of the game, this is going to be a mistake to try to cover 30 points. Iowa State did what it needed to do. Breece Hall with a nice game, 100 yards rushing. Caught some passes, got Charlie Kolar involved. The defense was stellar, as you might suspect, and no contest.
No, it was over from the opening gun, basically, as far as that game is concerned. And Iowa State had, I mean, Brock Purdy had a fumble inside the 10-yard line. There was another situation where Iowa State went for it on a fourth down, and Breece Hall had the ball in the wrong hand. If he had it in the opposite arm, it would have been enough. It could have been 60. It could have been whatever Matt Campbell wanted it to be. Iowa State did not play any ones on the defensive side in the second half, played very few ones on the offensive side, and it was exactly what Iowa State needed to have coming off the loss to Iowa and basically getting ready for a tough opener as far as the Big 12 is concerned. And we'll talk to John Morris coming up tomorrow about that. But as we know, there's been Iowa State and Baylor have had some very spirited games the last few years. I don't think there's a lot of love lost between the Bears and the Cyclones.
There haven't been. Iowa State installed as a 6-point favorite in this game. I'm going to have to examine that before we get to Friday's pick six, but at any rate, it should be a very competitive game, I would think, and Iowa State getting a ton of confidence after that trip to Las Vegas. Not sure the results at the blackjack tables, but nevertheless, a good result on the football field.
Yeah, and you know, everything that Iowa State needed to do, they checked off the list, and that was what Iowa State needed to do. As a matter of fact, yes, I got through halftime. I didn't need to see anything else after that, as far as that game is concerned. And
once again, the previous game goes what, three overtimes?
Yes, and missed the first part. I was listening as well as most people were to John and Eric on the radio.
Yeah.
San Diego State and Utah went triple overtime,
which was a good game, but. Yeah, I'm sure Iowa State fans were not too happy. They could catch the radio broadcast or stream, or I understand all that. But if you're a traditional consumer of viewing on the television, you weren't too happy.
No, but that's what radio's the best. We encourage radio quite a bit. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to talk about football over the weekend, that's 319-366-1600. Now we've opened a can of worms here. 86-83 is, yes, Iowa at Penn State, is they predict will be a 7 o'clock kick with College game day in Iowa City. Our friend David in Hudson, don't you think Iowa needs to stretch the field more? It will only help the run game. I would. And Iowa finally threw long. And did you see how open what was it? Nico Reganey was at the end right there. He was open from here to Shuiville. And that's what a good running game will do. And I thought that was very good of Brian Ferentz. You don't want to certainly, I mean, Iowa wasn't pouring it on at that point, but That gives a little pause for folks down the line to see that on film a little bit. And yeah, I heartily agree with you, 86-83.
No, the pouring on happened in Ann Arbor, Scott.
Oh!
when Jim Harbaugh was throwing the football up 60 points against Northern Illinois. Watching a little bit of that game, why, I don't know. I had the Iowa game. What is going on here, Jim? So, yeah. Maybe that'll come back to haunt him in future games against Northern Illinois. I don't know, but...
I don't think so.
No. Probably not.
I don't think so. 319-366-1600. Yeah, the new college football poll coming out. Both Iowa and Iowa State remaining in their spots, as Iowa at number 5 and Iowa State at number 14 as far as the AP is concerned. And yeah, some good games over the weekend and some good games coming up this weekend as far as college football is concerned. We should talk a little UNI football. St. Thomas, a very good lower division. Their first year moving up to the FCS level. It's even for a team that has had the pedigree of St. Thomas over the years. Kicked out of their conference because they were too good. But there's still a pretty big jump going up to Division I football. And UNI, tell you what, they may have found something with the quarterback change, and I think they have found something with the O'Day coming in.
Certainly had a good couple games here, and I expect he's the guy going forward, but no contest against St. Thomas, and it is a huge jump between, no matter how good you are in Division III, and St. Thomas has been excellent, as you outlined, but a huge jump up, and you and I proved it on Saturday.
Yeah, they did, and things are going to get tougher for the Panthers. There is no doubt about that, but still, that was a solid win for UNI over a decent program, a program that is going to get a lot better, certainly. 319-366-1600 as we talk college football, and let's go to Craig from Cedar Rapids on line one. Wants to talk a little bit about Torrey Taylor. Craig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Guys, what are your overall thoughts on Torrey Taylor and the job he's doing punting the football and giving the Hawks great field position?
Difference maker, Craig. Definitely a difference maker at Iowa State, and he continued to do good things on Saturday. You can't expect him to, you know, average 50, 55 yards a punt every game. The conditions are going to be different, but he's been a difference maker in my mind, Craig.
I would agree. Dude hit the pylon on Saturday. I mean, that's like a hole-in-one in golf. I mean, you couldn't do that if you were trying, but yeah, right now he's on a all Big Ten level, and I think you got to include him on some All-American teams. Now, it's only 3 games into the season. There's still a long way to go, but so far this guy has been a big help to the Hawkeye defense because he's pinned teams consistently inside the 10. And what I like to see, and what we're starting to see again in college football, is we're starting to see punts angled out of bounds again. For so many years, it was try to hit that big, high punt and have it do a backspin inside the 5, and about 9 out of 10 times, it would go in the end zone. Good for the special teams folks like LeVar Woods to start kicking the ball out of bounds. Kudos to you people. Thanks.
I would say Caleb Shudak has been a great asset as well, not only in field goal and extra point kicking, but I think there's only been one kickoff return in 3 games. He's got a big leg. And again, weather conditions will change. But by and large, this guy is not allowing any kickoff returns. And you can bank on teams starting at the 25.
Yeah. Craig, thanks for the question. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Go Hawks.
319-366-1600 at 349 here on the program. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll dive into the National Football League week number 2, which is not over. We've got the Packers and the Lions coming up tonight for you, and we'll talk about that and everything that went on yesterday in the National Football League when we come back.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Detroit or Green Bay, and if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code Hanson200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code Hanson200, H-A-N-S-O-N-200, to win $200 in free bets if either Detroit or Green Bay scores a touchdown. Winning is always special, but nothing beats a W at BetMGM. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back with you in the gym class here at 3:50 on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Real quick, Fran McCaffrey with the meeting, Zoom meeting with the media earlier on today. Not anything earth-shattering. Talked about recruiting a little bit and how Iowa recruiting maybe benefited by this past year and all the success. And other than that, not anything too earth-shattering coming out of Iowa City with Fran today.
That's true. He did report his son, Patrick McCaffrey, is nursing a sprained ankle, trying to get him back on the court. Jordan Bohannon working almost exclusively at the two guard, the shooting guard position, and was very complimentary of almost every player, saying they will be part of the mix in so many words. Philip Rabraka, the transfer from North Dakota via Serbia, 6'9 player coming in. Keegan Murray, Chris Murray's, Keegan's brother, Chris, getting high praise from Brian McCaffrey as well. So about what you'd expect at this time of year.
Did you see the pictures of Riley Mulvey? Who's now up to 245 pounds and looks like he has been doing nothing but lifting weights and getting stronger over the summer.
Yeah, Fran had words about him as well. And, you know, that's encouraging, impressive.
Yeah. Let's before we talk about the NFL, let's talk about the Emil's Hideaway winner from this past Friday, Mark. And not a big surprise, which panelist, again, took home honors?
No, Bob from Parnell, a very wise man, to pick Dave Alec to win this week's pick six. Dave did win it for the third week in a row. He went 4-2. Scott, you went 3-3. I went 2-4. Very impressive that Dave factored in an Iowa safety so he could cover that Iowa game, didn't you think?
Yeah, that's what the difference was.
I talked about the worst pick in Emil's pick six history, and that was yours truly. Who, in the interest of trying to catch Dave, perhaps, picked UNLV and getting 30 points. I own up to it. The worst pick in Emil's pick six history.
Oh, I don't know if it's the absolute worst, but...
Yes, it was.
Yeah. After the first two drives, it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen unless Matt Campbell wanted it to happen. 319-366-1600, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next, and they'll have your next opportunity to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Game 1 of the Hackle Championship between the Colonels and the River Bandits coming up tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to all the folks out there for the well wishes. I am fine this morning. The sun sort of came up today. Sun did better coming up than the Chiefs' defense has done in the first 2 weeks. The Chiefs aren't, I'm flat out say, Mark, the Chiefs are not going to win this division if this defense does not get any better.
Okay, I don't know if I'll go along with that. I think
they're terrible. They're terrible.
They aren't very good at this point, that's for sure. But, I mean, each and every week you have so many storylines in the National Football League. And my storyline this week was, this is a Survivor League. 7 games decided by a field goal or less in terms of points, 3 points or fewer. And that wasn't true in week one. There were 3 such games, but many others decided by a score or less. I mean, it's just a fine line in the NFL. Look at the Bears. Look at the Chiefs. The Cowboys are prevailing narrowly. The Rams, Arizona, Tennessee, on and on and on. It's just a crazy league. I don't know how you bet on it, how you predict games. But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it was terrific last night. Yes, Troy, you are absolutely right. On any given Sunday, any team can win.
And yeah, how'd New Orleans do?
Not as well as they did week one.
Okay, all right.
Let's just put it that way. But it's a long season, and we'll see what happens. Terrible news if folks have not heard. Josie Jewell injured yesterday. He is going to be out for the year for the Denver Broncos. And your heart goes out to the former Hawkeye and Decorah native. Just too bad right there. And the bad side of football as you have it. But hopefully he'll be back and ready to go in the offseason and in 2022 for the Denver Broncos out there. 64-29 tells me it could be worse. At least you aren't a Viking fan having to deal with losing yet another game on a missed field goal. Yeah. Vikings played very – that was a fun game with the Vikings and the Cardinals yesterday.
It was, much like the opener that the Vikings had. It just didn't go Minnesota's way. And as a fan of the NFC North leading Chicago Bears, I'm not too sad about it. But it could be tied tonight when the Packers and Lions meet. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thank you to Steve Anderson and his team down there. What will the result of tonight's game be? Packers by 10 or more points? Packers by 6-9? Packers by 1-5? Or the Lions win? Go ahead and vote KGYMRadio.com. And I will just offer this. The Lions are 7-1 when underdogs the last 8 games.
Is that against the spread?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care if he wins by 1 or 30.
I think he wants to make a statement tonight, no question.
I think the Packers are going to win. But, that's going out on a limb right there. You never know what's going to happen as far as the National Football League is concerned, but that's what makes it a whole lot of fun. No doubt about that. And as I mentioned, we'll have that game coming up tonight for you beginning at 6:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM for you. And we will have the Cyclone Sideline Show coming up as well for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. And that will be coming up at 6:30 as well. Again, a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 10 o'clock. There is a pretty good line of rain of storms that is building off to the west and moving our direction. That is over by basically from Mason City through the Des Moines area right now and down to the Missouri border. A little bit of a patch that has developed between Marshalltown, Waterloo, and Cedar Rapids in that little triangle as well. All that moving to the east, northeast. So that goes until 10 o'clock. And again, the traffic situation at I-380 and Highway 30 southbound. So please, if you have an opportunity to take an alternate route home, please do so. More on that and sports coming up with Todd and Alex from 4 until 6. Mark, you have a very good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. You too. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union on KGYM.
On the That's What She Said podcast, I talk with guests from the world of sports and beyond. to share their life stories and journeys to success. And in the coming weeks, I'll be